Welcome back to Take Command to Logan Paulson and Grant Paulson. So now that the Commanders have added the corner that I thought and so many thought maybe they needed to, the other position where everyone's been longing for one more piece is wide receiver. So we turn our attention there. There's an elephant in the room we can just discuss really quickly and keep it moving, which is Brandon Ayuk. The most recent update on his social media video tour of nonsense is that he went at Jaden Daniels. Now, I'm being called an idiot who's not young enough to understand that this is all for fun and it's a big joke that him and Jaden ran on and they're trolling and they're trying to prank everyone. I don't believe that for a second. And frankly, if that is what's happening, I still think that's disqualifying.
That's what people are saying about it, that it's like it's just like a young people doing young thing, young people.
Yeah, the people that stand for Brandon Ayuk and you know want him here and everything he does is explainable. The new thing is that people that don't like it need to sit this one out because young people are just having fun on the internet. And essentially, I think the theory is that him and Jaden Daniels are like trolling and pretending like they're upset at each other. And it's all this big fun thing so that the internet reacts. Now, I don't believe that for a second. I think Brandon Ayuk's a volatile person who most of the people in his sphere, like his agent, like his personal coach, TJ Houshmandzadeh, like the team that he played for, like he's at odds with pretty much everyone, it seems like. So yeah. I think, you know, somebody at a soccer game was cursing and screaming about Brandon Ayuk. Jaden Daniels, as a reasonable human being who is in an awkward position, kind of laughed it off and moved himself away from the situation. It's like, what else am I supposed to do right now? He's just a normal person.
I did see that, yeah.
Brandon Ayuk took that very poorly, it appears, and then went at Jaden Daniels on social media. So I continue to be team, this is an absurd person who should not be coming to Washington. But I don't know, has he disqualified himself yet for you? Or are we still going to continue this charade?
So, you know, it's funny. I can't remember the last time we talked about this, but I went and talked to a couple of my agent buddies about this situation. A lot of people kind of have a similar, you know, read on it the way you and I do. It's like, it just seems like a lot. But a couple of guys I talked to said, like, we actually have told clients in the past to kind of act erratically to help ensure that they are released from the team that they're on. Like, and they gave a couple of examples, which I thought were interesting. And I was like, oh, like that makes a little bit more sense why that guy did that. He kind of had this stellar career, you know, model citizen. And then like 3 weeks before the start of whatever season it was, he just is like having fights with coaches and turning over tables and that kind of stuff in the building because he wanted to get released. He ends up signing a new deal and is back to a model citizen. This, again, all the agents that I talked to kind of feel that this is not that necessarily because it's kind of gone on for so long. Like in those, it's very like very plotted, very planned, very deliberate. And so again, I don't know. This could be some long con and I can't see it and we don't have all the information. I'm willing to acknowledge that there are some unusual things that I've seen that end up being very benign and very normal when he gets to the new location. I just think this has gone on for a long time. I really do. And I think like when you hear him speak, again, like he's a young person. I'm not saying like say what you want to say, but the thing we just talked about with Rasul Douglas as an example, there is a professionalism to guys who have been in the league for a long time, and I don't necessarily feel that or see that from him. Now, I could be old. I'm almost 40. I don't understand what the young kids are doing these days. That's totally fine. And I'm not telling him not to say things. I just think about if I was advising him, if he was working with my agent and he called me and said, "Hey, Logan, I'm thinking about doing this," I'd be like, "Hey, man, probably don't do that." You know what I mean? Like let your agent handle that. Let them handle this negotiation. Get out of here as quickly as possible. And people say, they'd say to me all the time, like, "Logan, is he just crazy as a fox?" To me, no, because like every time you go out and do something like that, you're negating your ability to sign with another team. So let's say he really wanted to sign with we've talked about this before. If you really want to sign with the Commanders, like I want as many teams bidding for my services as possible. That's what I want because then the price tag goes up. Like there's a great example in my career where I was signing for a league minimum in Atlanta and then Detroit called in the 12th hour and was like, "We want to sign you." And I was like, "This is great," because it got me like $250,000 more, right? And it was like a totally nothing thing. And then when I re-signed with Atlanta, there was no second team. And what did I sign for? I signed for league minimum. So like anytime you can get more people in on the party, the more money you're going to make. And maybe money's not important to him. Maybe all he cares about is playing with Jaden Daniels. That's great. But I would also like to play with my best friend and make a lot of money. So like that's the thing about all of this that doesn't seem to totally jive with me. Right now, like I just want to reiterate, He could be doing a bit. Someone could have told him to do this. It's entirely within the realm of possibility. I just think he's kind of pushed it to a point where it seems counterproductive is what I would say.
Yeah. And for me, even if he's doing a bit, I'm out.
Okay. Why?
So I like
it's too,
like,
it's too bitty. You're a big skits and bits guy, coach. You love a good skits and bits.
That stops at like talking trash about my quarterback in the face of my franchise publicly before you're on my team.
But, so, but like we're friends, right? So like if we were doing a bit and we were like trying to like drum up, this is the thing. It's like it feels like I know a lot of fans like they would have to have like coordinated this because the stuff that he said about the quarterback, I thought was like a bridge too far in my opinion.
So this is my point. So like the number one, like do not talk about that thing about Jaden Daniels that he hears the most from people is about his mom and his relationship with his mom. So for Brandon Ayuk to like cut into that underbelly, like he didn't be like, oh, five, like go put on some weight. You're too skinny or like talk about his durability. Like you're talking about the dude's family and a person that I think unfairly a lot of the time, he gets a lot of crap for his relationship with his like very involved and supportive mother. And it's a weird thing that like people seem ultra bothered by. Now I understand that like there is this element sometimes with athletes and like overbearing parents, but this has not reared its head as a problem. This is not, she's not like demanding that David Blau run certain plays. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's a weird thing anyway that he has to deal with. So for Brandon Ayuk to go there felt like, okay, that's not that funny. Like you missed your mark. If the goal was, hey, I'll troll you. And also call me crazy. I don't want Jaden Daniels and this wackadoo like texting, talking about how they're going to trick Mike Florio in Pro Football Talk and, you know, every other account that's spending time now talking about this. And this dude's like wearing Commanders hats while he's doing it. Like he's dragged Washington into this in a sense. How do I say this? Like, I wanted to be past this organizationally. Like I want it to be about all, and like the Commanders have done nothing wrong technically, other than in my opinion, not putting out the word that they want nothing to do with this player, which tells me that maybe they do. I don't know. But like he's wearing Commanders gear. He's telling people to get their tickets at commanders.com. Like that's not necessarily their fault, but like it's like when a player is in a story for the wrong reasons and it says like Logan Paulson, comma, tight end Washington Redskins, comma. Like, I don't want to be involved in this.
Right.
So if Jaden is like helping like with the skit now, out. Want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing is like, yeah, this dude was a hell of a football player. Like I just was like revisiting something with Josh Gordon a couple like weeks ago just for fun, just like looking at his career, just how special that guy was. But like every time that he was out of football for a long period of time, like he got worse, right? Because like we're not in shape, we're not tracking the football as well. And I keep having to remind myself, like, yeah, if this dude comes out and plays like he did in 2023, like this is gonna be amazing, right? But he hasn't. The precedent for people who have not played a lot of football and coming out and playing well is just not very good. So like I think everyone thinks he's gonna be the savior of the receiver room if he does sign here. And I just don't see that necessarily. And again, if he does, great. Like I'd love, like talk about things I'd love to be wrong about. I'd love to be wrong about this gut feeling that I have that this is like not really, I feel kind of icky about what he's saying and how he's acting. And he comes in and he's a model citizen. That'd be awesome. Or he came in and he was, you know, like a top 10 wide receiver. I would love for people to like message me and be like, I think this is incorrect. But I'm just saying based on historical precedent, there aren't a lot of people who have behaved this way, missed this much time, and had this relationship with our former team that come in and do really good things. Now, if you want to sign him for a league minimum deal and have him come in and kick the tires on it, go for it. But, and again, like this is the other thing I keep having to remind myself of is Adam Peters probably knows this situation better than anybody outside of San Francisco because he's friends with Kyle. Like they get along well. He's friends with John Lynch. So like he's going to have every bit of information that he wants on this. So like I trust him implicitly with this decision. It's just like, outside looking in, man, like there's just a lot of things that I'm just kind of like, you know, with the information that I do have that I don't love. So
moving on from Ayuk, I didn't even plan on talking about him specifically.
Yeah, it just seems like he takes up a lot of air. That's what it feels like to me.
A lot of oxygen, my guy. So moving on from him and other wide receiver options, and I think this is interesting today as they just added a veteran corner. Maybe it's kind of that time of the offseason for them. Other names that I've jotted down here. Stephon Diggs, who is a University of Maryland product, who's the videos he's posting are of him training and sweating and running routes. Tyreek Hill, who is coming off of a very serious injury, and is, you know, has his own baggage, you know, in terms of off-field stuff over the years. So does Diggs. I guess it should be noted. Debo Samuel is still available. It's considered one of the best remaining free agent receivers. They could bring him back, and there's obviously going to be plenty of carryover from the offense previously that he knows. If you want to, I mean, we're talking about some older guys, right? So DeAndre Hopkins would be the oldest of them, but is like a future Hall of Famer who maybe could provide something in the room. And then the last one I just threw on here, and I can already tell like the eye rolling is going to be loud from the listening base, but Noah Brown is still out there who gets hurt a lot. But like when that dude plays, he helps and he's big and he can give you something in this room if you were to sign him. And there's a way less downside, I would say. It wouldn't cost a lot. So those are some names I threw together, just of the best available. It's obviously a pretty picked over group at this point.
Yeah, I'm glad you said picked over because that's definitely what it feels like. And this is the, so I want to say this too before we get into the receiver thing too much. Is so last year during minicamp OTAs, like I left thinking, man, like without Terry out here, this feels like we got a big lift for the remaining guys on the roster, right? And if Noah Brown's not practicing, like it feels very thin, very Spartan. Like the depth is at the forefront. This year, obviously Terry's healthy. You know, you get more depth pieces out there. Treylon Burks, Luke looks like he's taking a step. All these different guys, Antonio Williams, right? It does not feel like it did last year. It doesn't feel like that to me at all. Watching through now, there's still training camp. There's still preseason. There's still the first. Like, there's a lot of football that still needs to be happening in terms of evaluation. But last year, you could feel it. There was something in the air. Didn't feel right. The depth didn't feel good. It doesn't quite feel this way. So if they choose not to go out and sign somebody, I feel much better about it than I did last year. Like last year, I was like, I kind of think they need somebody. Like, so if last year was this year, right, I'd be like, hey, we got to sign Stephon Diggs. Like, we have to. We must. It's to me, if Stephon Diggs is available and he wants to come here, I like that. I think he's a good football player. He's very productive. He's still got some route running nuance to him. I've heard good things about him from a leadership standpoint from guys that know him well. So, like, that would be great. I don't think it is essential the same way it was last year.
But let me jump in on that for a second, because one of the things that came up way earlier in the offseason, like, this was before all of the Ayuk videos and kind of going off the deep end a little bit. I preferred Ayuk to Diggs initially. And my take was, I thought Diggs was redundant to Antonio Williams, in a sense, who they just drafted in the top 75. And I'm probably wrong on this and over like a 15-year study historically, but I don't like blocking my young guys. I like providing room. More often than not, though, they don't like fill up the room, that they end up like, you know, needing more time. So what's your thought on that? I mean, if you bring him in, you are almost implicitly lowering whatever you're getting out of Antonio Williams this year and lowering the bar for him and kind of stunting development maybe in some way in terms of targets, opportunities, catches in the early part of his career.
It's definitely a concern if you think the guy's ready. If you think there's any chance that he's not ready and like this is like kind of a, I don't say gotta have a year, but every
would
year
they the know that it. Now.
I think they could have a good feel for it. Like we talked about that a little bit, like with Brandon Sheriff during OTAs and minicamp, how everyone kind of knew he was going to play guard. And like, it was kind of the worst kept secret in the room. And there's other guys who are like, he's got something, but we're not sure he's going to be like ready just yet. So I think there's something there. But the other thing too, I would say is like, if he's a good dude, I'm talking about Diggs now, and he is a good, like personality in the room, like it could be beneficial for Antonio Williams. Like it could be helpful, like where you're kind of saying, hey, like here's a guy with a plethora of experience, a guy that's done at a high level, a guy that's going to be in a very similar role. Like, how does he do it? Like, what's his process? Like, what's he looking at? And I think he could learn a lot. Now, do you need to go out and pay top dollar for that? I don't think so. You know what I mean? And so that's where I'd say, like, while I think this is what I'd say. Is if you think it's important that you're winning a lot of football games this year, and you're unsure about where Antonio Williams is at, I think the Diggs signing becomes very, very important. I'm not sure that they feel that way. And so again, like, and it's not just Antonio Williams. I think when you look at how Diami looked, when you look at how Luke looked, when you looked at how even like Burks looked, like they had some pieces where I was like, man, even Chigakonkwo, like, where again, like, it's a projection. They got to do it at a high level. The number one thing with NFL players is consistency and, show me now, not, we're not projecting, we're not anticipating. So I do think that there's something to this room of pass catchers that makes me less urgent to make this signing. I just want to make sure we talked about that. But if there was one guy from that list you just mentioned, it's Stephon Diggs all day.
So on a 1 to 10, I always like to quantify things because I think it's just easier and tangible. Their need for a wide receiver, like, there are people out there that have it as a 9. I think it's like a 5, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like you are in that range or even lower, possibly.
Yeah, I think I'm probably a 4 or 5. Like, again, just because I don't understand why people who haven't seen practice probably feel that way. Because, again, like, there was a distinct, noticeable difference between last year and this year. Like, if you said, Logan, last year, do we need to sign somebody? I'd been like, yeah, we probably do. This year, again, if you wanted to add more talent, I'm always a big advocate of adding more talent if you feel like you need it. Because everybody wants to get more talented. They want to be the best version of that specific room, right? And so what I'd say is, like, I didn't feel that this year. Now, I always want good football players. Like, so for example, if they're like, hey, player X who's, a top 5 at the positions available, like, let's get him in here, I'd be like, absolutely. There's nothing that would stop me from doing that, right? But if it's those guys you just mentioned, where we might be blocking a young player, or there's maybe more upside with a young player, or we think I think back to 2012 all the time, like, that wasn't necessarily the best pass catching room of all time, but they worked really well together. They had good roles. Like, Pierre was the alpha dog, right? Josh Morgan was in there, who's kind of this competitive, tough physical guy. Leonard Hankerson was kind of a developing ascending player. Aldrick Robertson was like this deep play merchant who was kind of Deshaun Jackson light. And on paper, I would have been like, that room is terrible. That's awful. But they all kind of had their roles. And that's kind of what I'm feeling when I watched OTAs and minicamp. So to me, it's like, you can excel. It's not even get by. You can excel with this group, but you are putting a lot of pressure on David Blau. You're putting a little bit more pressure on Jaden Daniels to make it work. And I've seen that work at a high level. I've seen it work with a young quarterback, and maybe that's why I'm biased in this kind of evaluation. But I just don't feel the urgency or the need to do it right now the way that I've felt in years past.
He's Logan. I'm Grant. This is Take Command. Next, we'll get into which of the Commanders would have made the best soccer player for Team USA in the World Cup, and hit a mailbag question or two.